This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2021 AmFam Championship is in the books, so mark your calendars for 2022 and the tournament's return to University Ridge Golf Course June 10th through the 12th with two-time defending champion Jerry Kelly and tournament host Steve Stricker. The AmFam Championship has raised more than $10.2 million for charity since its debut in 2016. Stay posted to their website at amfamchampionship.com for tickets for the 2022 AmFam Championship. Alongside Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here. It's time for Talking.Golf, and we're coming to you from the beautiful club at Loch LaBelle. And Loch LaBelle has been a historic club. I'm looking at the door, 1896 here. We're in the 1896 room, Gary. And Loch LaBelle is historic, yet new, the way they have it now. And my first time being here, you've been here now a couple times. It doesn't get any better than what we just got done playing here at Loch LaBelle.
No, Robin, you're right about the history. You know, it's there are two or three courses that claim to be the oldest in the state. This is certainly one of those two or three. Tuscumbia makes that claim, and I think the original Lacrosse Country Club, I believe.
Could be the original Lacrosse Country Club, yeah. And also I think Janesville Country Club is also since 1900. And but you can tell there's a rich history here, and they celebrate it.
Yeah, they honor the history here. It's like a museum here. They've got some sample hickory clubs that the players in the 1890s would have used. And one of the early club pros here was Willie Anderson, who won four U.S. Opens, and Alex Smith, who won one or two U.S. Opens. I mean, there's a rich history here. And also, this is a sister club of Carnoustie in Scotland. So Carnoustie, all those guys who came here were all from Carnoustie. I don't know about Willie Anderson, but Alex Smith was, and the Fowles brothers. And it's a cool place.
And again, not very busy here on a Thursday. And
I think so.
the days kind of blur together. We posted on Twitter after 10 consecutive days of golf tournament coverage. We finally kind of have a break. The U.S. Girls Junior qualifying going on just down the road at Watertown. Might try to hit that on the way back to Madison. But we've been treated to some phenomenal golf over the last 10 days, Gary. And I guess if we start, let's start first with our AmFam report. Again, our Talking.Golf sponsor, AmFam Championship, really gave us a lot to talk about. Obviously, we did the daily podcast, but if you didn't get a chance to tune in, didn't get a chance to see our coverage, a wonderful championship with Jerry Kelly rallying to win. We didn't really see that coming as it unfolded. All of a sudden, here's Steve Stricker shooting 65 in the final round. Here's Jerry Kelly winning his second title. Here's Andy North perhaps playing for the final time. Here's Mario Tiziani having a great final round. And here's Skip Kendall, doing everything he can to try to, get himself. He was T4 at one point on Friday or on Saturday morning and had himself, I thought, a pretty good tournament. Again, a fabulous time at University Ridge.
Yeah, we had no lack of storylines, that's for sure. And I got on a Zoom call with Jerry on Monday, the day after he won, and he talked about how he celebrated with getting two grills going at his house, and he had a couple players over and cooked up a storm. I expected him maybe to have a couple adult beverages, but I think he laid pretty low. He might have had one or two, but yeah, it was there were so many things to write about and watch. It was fun the way he rallied on that back nine and hit so many good shots. I followed him all day on Sunday, and he had a lot of quality shots and made clutch putts. So hats off.
Yeah, and Jerry's cousin Peggy Kelly Gearhart tweeted out, I think, the picture of Jerry as the grill master at that party. Peggy texted me that the McCarrans were there, Scott and Jenny, and then David Frost was there. She thought, what a great thing. Here's David Frost, an internationally successful golfer, and he's hanging out at Jerry's house. But that's the PGA Tour champions in a nutshell. I think Alex Chayka said it best in the pre-tournament interview. People are genuinely happy for other people who perform well on that tour, and I think it showed again with Jerry winning. And of course, we've kind of joked about it over the term of his reign, which was 2 years after the first one because there was no tournament because of COVID. But Steve Stricker really wants to win his own tournament, but he's still happy for Jerry Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. If Steve can't win it, you know, I'm sure he's very happy that Jerry won it, because obviously it brings a lot of eyes to the tournament having a Madison guy win, and they got a lot of, you know, a month's worth of publicity in one day. So yeah, it was pretty cool. Steve was happy for Jerry, but probably I would say, you know, almost bitterly disappointed that he didn't play better in the first two rounds. He had a great final round, 65. Yep. I'm sure he wanted to do that on Friday and Saturday too.
And in talking to Mario Tiziani after that round, and he saw the score, and he's been around Steve enough to know how much he grinds, how much is on his plate the week of the MFAM Championship. He hopes that maybe in the way that Steve went about his business on Sunday will carry over to future years, and he won't quite put so much pressure on himself to perform and just let it happen on Friday and Saturday and not get behind the eight ball. We shall see. This is the What's Up segment of Talking.Golf, the What's Up segment brought to you by our Instagram account at wis.golf. And Megan Augustine, busy as she can be, Gary D'Amato, because we keep feeding her and Jim Kelch with his photos from some of the stuff we've been at here in the last week. If we go back to Monday, after last talking to everyone on the AmFam Championship podcast on Sunday, I was at the State High School Boys Championship up at Wisconsin Dells Monday, Tuesday. You were at the golf courses of Lasonia in Green Lake, the Lynx course for the Wisconsin State Women's Open Tuesday and Wednesday. Both of us with a lot to write about. Great competition all the way around. I avoided playoffs at my venue. You did not yesterday at the golf courses of Lasonia, as we had Mia Seaman and Grace Suter with really some great shot making down the stretch and throughout the final round, but especially on those two playoff holes. Mia Seaman driving a green on a 295-yard par 4 shows how far this tournament has come when we're talking about that kind of shot making in a playoff situation.
I was just thinking about that, Rob. You know, I think I covered the first few Women's State Opens 25 years ago. It's in its 25th year this year. And there were some really good players, but now there are so many more good players. And, you know, between getting better instruction, getting, you know, having better conditioning, being in the gym, and, you know, having a lot of the competition that they have now at a younger age, they're so much better. You know, there were some really good players 25 years ago, don't get me wrong, but now there's bunches and bunches of them, and they hit it a lot farther, and they've been in pressure situations, and they know how to handle it better. So the women's game has come a long way over the last quarter century.
And Mia Seaman, your State Open champion, one of the carrots of this year's championship is the women's champion gets an invitation to compete in the men's State Open. And it's always been technically a State Open State Open, but where everybody can qualify. Carolyn Barnett Howe has played a number of times. I know Alyssa Farrell tried to qualify one time. And we've had, I think, Sue Ginter played one time.
Cindy Swift.
So this isn't anything new. I was really thrilled to hear that Mia Seaman wants to play in it and will do whatever she can. Of course, just like on the men's side, for those kids that are still in college, a very tight turnaround between that State Open date in the middle of August and going back to school. But this will be a big step for women's golf in Wisconsin, I think.
It will be a little bit of pressure on Mia to, you know, to represent the women's game, but she's going to do fine. She hits it a long way, Rob. She bombed some drives yesterday at Lasonia. You know, she hits a 270 when she hits a good one, 275, and that is plenty long to play in the men's State Open, I should just call it the State Open. But yeah, she'll, you know, if she has a good couple days, you know, she could make the cut and compete, I think.
So a good, again, a good women's State Open championship, and then Gary. Over at Wisconsin Dells, two courses, Wild Rock Golf Course for Division I and Trappers Turn for Divisions II and III. Storylines abounded. Really, the two best junior golfers in the state finished that way in Division I. Jacob Beckman wins it after a great opening round, 68, makes a clutch putt on 18, about 4 feet to avoid a playoff with Bennett Swavely of Hudson. Pearson Hunt, a couple years ago, started the Wisconsin Cup matches with the help of the AJGA. Over at Whistling Straits on July 4th weekend. NCAA rules prevent him from continuing in the host role, so he's turned those over, the captain's rights for that championship, for that competition, to Jacob Beckman and Bennett Swavely. And that's a lot of pressure, and they go out and finish 1-2. Pretty impressive. The neat thing about what we do, Gary, every year we see the next cycle of great golfers, and I think we saw it with the State High School Championship and with what both Jacob and Bennett were able to do.
Yeah, and Rob, hats off to you. I don't know how you do it with two sites going back and forth, and some divisions are one site. Division I is at Wild Rock, and Yeah, you turned out a lot of great copy, and I know we got a lot of good numbers on our website. But I would, you know, if you missed Rob's coverage of the state high school boys championship, go to wisconsin.gov and check it out.
And then in Division II, a neat story, Ethan Arndt, who played number three for the Edgewood High School boys golf team behind freshman Alex Weiss and sophomore Al Dang, two kids who play a lot of summer golf. Ethan does not. Ethan came out and shot 75-72 at Trappers Turn and wins the state title over kids who really, really wanted to win the state title. Ethan just let it happen. And then he also leads his team to its fourth state title in a row. And only Heartland Arrowhead and Fond du Lac Springs in Divisions 1 and 3, respectively, had done that previously. The last thing I want to ask you about the state high school tournament, Gary, is Kohler is your Division 3 state champion. Kohler goes to Trappers Turn, having spent the season playing their home courses, Whistling Straits Irish, Black Wolf Run Meadow Valleys. Now they've got the bass that they can probably practice par 3 holes on. Can you imagine what it's like to be growing up in Kohler, Wisconsin this year and be on the boys' golf team? You win a state championship, and now you're helping the town get ready for a Ryder Cup. I mean, what a great time to be alive in Kohler, Wisconsin.
You know, Rob, Kohler is almost, you know, this is might sound sacrilegious to some, but it's almost sort of become the St. Andrews of Wisconsin or the Midwest. And so much good stuff is happening there. Obviously, it doesn't have the tradition that St. Andrews has, hundreds of years of golf tradition. But, you know, it has 30-some years now of golf tradition with major championships, with, you know, great courses being built and spurring other courses being built. You know, we're at a great club at Lac La Belle, which has been around a long time, but who knows if a renovation is done here if Kohler didn't do what he did. So, it's a cool place to be grow up and be a golfer.
And Noah Kirch out of Lancaster, a kid who, you know, lives in small town Wisconsin, has played a ton on the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour and the Wisconsin PGA Junior Tour, and his hard work rewarded with a state championship there. Didn't want to leave him out. And again, a lot of these kids, it really doesn't matter where you live in the state, Gary. There's junior golf around you. And that's, I think, a tip of the hat to the Wisconsin PGA for making that happen and making sure that this isn't a Milwaukee area thing or a Madison area thing. This is statewide.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Rob. You know, maybe 30 or 40 years ago, if you grew up way up north in Hayward, Trout Lake, or areas up there, you know, there are some good golf courses up there, but the competition might have been lacking. And now, you know, a couple-hour drive, they can go to a lot of junior tournaments and get better.
So, state high school championship behind us. Time now for What's Next. What's Next, powered by our Twitter feed, at wis.golflive. It has been hopping with results. And spoiler alert, we've also missed a couple of the WPGA Junior Tour in full gear. We have some catching up to do there. But they've been playing daily at places like Lake Ripley Country Club, Cherokee Country Club, and Johnson Park just the other day on the Junior Tour. But for What's Next, we've got a busy week next week. My last week, in a full week back in Wisconsin. And there's a reason I picked this time, Gary, because we are wall-to-wall coverage. We've got the state men's match play over at Hawks Landing Monday through Thursday. Wednesday and Thursday, I'll be down at the WPGA Junior Championship. And then we'll tag team over the weekend for the Ray Fisher Championship down at Janesville. And I had a chance to see Riverside for that team playoff at the Janesville Parker Sectional. It looks in great shape, and scores are always low there. Out of the match play and the Ray Fisher, what are you looking forward to most next week in terms of coverage? And you know, this is going to take us to July 1st.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that June is flying by. You know, I love the match play. I love the Fisher. I've covered the Fisher for a long time, as I know you have. It's a great list of champions there. If you look back at the list of champions from Archie Dadian to Steve Stricker.
Skip Kendall.
Yeah.
I told Skip that we were going to invoke his name at the Ray Fisher next week. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it'll have a great champion this year. Tony Romo's playing in it again. He supports Wisconsin golf and comes back and plays with a lot of his buddies who grew up in the Burlington, Waterford, Union Grove area. And he played golf with growing up. So. And he has contended there a couple times. I think he has a couple top 10 finishes, so looking forward to that one.
And that's What's Next here on Talking.Golf. What's Next, powered by our Twitter handle, at wis.golflive, where all the scores go as soon as they're posted. Check it out on Twitter, at wis.golflive. We wrap up Talking.Golf today with the Ryder Cup Report. The Ryder Cup Report also powered by Kohler Golf, but the Ryder Cup report, also kind of the U.S. Open report, Gary, and we're recording this on a Thursday, and the U.S. Open had a fog delay, and I know what fog's all about in San Diego. We call it marine layer, and the marine layer not very kind to the opening round, but Torrey Pines, I had a chance to play it last November. It's got all kinds of different grasses in the rough, none of which are easy to hit out of. It's not your Midwest U.S. Open rough where it just grows and then flops over. It's gnarly, my friend. It's gnarly. And what are you looking for out of this U.S. Open, another major closer to the Ryder Cup this year at Whistling Straits?
Well, if they get any kind of the drama that they anything close to what was there in 2008 when Tiger went on the fractured leg, you'll want to stick by the TV this weekend and watch the whole thing. I was at that U.S. Open, Robin, 2008. One of the better things I've covered, that putt Tiger made on 18 on Sunday to get into the playoff. You know, I really don't think anyone else on earth could have made that putt. I mean, he willed that ball in the hole as it got airborne, hitting bumps in the pole and drifting left and right and finally snuck in the right edge of the hole. So hopefully we can have that kind of finish on Sunday.
I survived 5 years of POA, Gary. I don't know what we've got. I'm on my way to Arizona next for our next move the worldwide headquarters, the West Coast headquarters of Wisconsin.golf to Arizona. But POA is not easy to putt on, is it? And when it gets, again, depending on the moisture of the day and the traffic on the greens, all that stuff impacts POA much more, I think, than bent grass.
Yeah, you almost get those seed heads toward the end of the day, 6-7 o'clock at night, the grass is of varying heights because the POA grows faster than the bent, and all of a sudden you're getting balls that are bumping and rolling and going airborne. It's a great surface to putt on early in the day. So the guys, that's something to look forward to, Rob, is the guys who have the early tee times should be putting up the better numbers, you would think.
As it relates to the Ryder Cup, John Rahm plays Torrey Pines really well. On the men's side, it's funny because the locals, at least recently, haven't played it particularly well, Phil Mickelson and Xander Schauffele. But you would think that at some point Xander's going to kind of get that course down. He's one of those young guys that I think is going to play well. I think of Colin Morikawa, who won his U.S. Open or his PGA on the West Coast last year. He might be a guy to look at. Who else are you thinking that, based on performance, based on history, we might want to look for this weekend at Torrey Pines?
Yeah, normally I'd pick Dustin Johnson in almost every tournament he enters. Dustin struggled a little bit recently, but has played better and is confident coming into the U.S. Open that he's back on track. So I like, the last U.S. Open, last few U.S. Open champions, if you look at them, Dustin Johnson won a U.S. Open, Bryson DeChambeau won a U.S. Open. I look at guys who bomb it because even if they hit it in the Kikuyu rough, at least they can slash out with a wedge as opposed to a 7-iron or an 8-iron back at 160 yards.
True. And it will be interesting to see where Bryson's ball goes and where his game plan goes. There are a lot of fun tees at Torrey Pines for major championships, for the Farmers Insurance Open. There's one, I'm trying to think if it's like, I want to say it might be 12 or 13 way back in the corner with a forest carryover canyon. For you and me, it would be, a test of our manhood to make sure we could carry it. For these guys, not so much. And it's how much you want to cut off and all that stuff. And I tell you, if they can get those fairways along the ocean firm, it could be interesting to see how that combination of firmness into that Kikuyu rough with patches of rye overseed, how that all plays into, kind of the thickness, the density of that rough, and really how big a headache is it going to be? How penal will it be? That's always the question for a U.S. Open. But when you mix and match different kinds of grasses, I think it makes for really a challenge for these guys that they don't see except when they go to the West Coast.
No, that you're talking about the rough, and you reminded me of the conversation you had with Rocco Mediate at the AmFam. He was reminiscing about his close call with Tiger, lost in extra holes after a Monday playoff, on the first extra hole,
right,
I believe.
Right.
Yeah, but he was talking about the rough and how hard it is to hit out of that rough. So they have their work cut out for them if they miss fairways over the next few days.
Well, we shall see what happens. U.S. Open going on through the weekend. Of course, major points to be had, and we'll review the Ryder Cup point standings. There hasn't been much movement with the regular events here the last couple weeks. Everybody's kind of held status quo, but you can bet that we might see some fresh faces in that top 10, maybe in the top 20 after the U.S. Open. Gary, it was a pleasure playing golf today. And we'll have to do it again, hopefully, before the we will do it again next week down at Blue Mound with Mike Davis. So looking forward to that. And get some rest here this weekend before our next spell of we were 10 in a row to this point. I think I'm gonna end with 7 in a row next week. So it'll be a fun close to the June golf calendar.
I think I had one day off in there somewhere, Rob. So I should have been more fresh than you today. And you got me by 4 shots. You played very well. We both struggled a little on the back nine, but a fine 82 by Rob today at Lac La Belle.
Well, and yeah. But if you can't remember the day off, did it really happen? That's the question, Gary.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The question. Well, you get some rest, and we'll check back again next week here on Talking.Golf. Talking.Golf, sponsored by the American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. That's right, the AmFam Championship in the books for 2021. Jerry Kelly, your champion for the second consecutive tournament, and he will defend next year in 2022, June 10th through the 12th. Keep checking out that website, amfamchampionship.com, for details on a full return to normal of the AmFam Championship. For Gary, I'm Rob. This has been Talking.Golf. We'll talk golf again next week.